No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also, Captain Dennis. Yeah, I promoted him last week, and I don't know, I got some grief for it, but I consider you a Captain Dennis. So, well,
I was your pilot, so I guess that counts, right?
Yeah, he's kind of, you know, maybe he's not a full-time crew, but he's like in the jump seat.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that is a perfect analogy.
Okay.
Jump seat.
All right. So
he's
there it is.
Jump seater for the day.
Yeah, I'm actually part of the crew.
Yes.
I usually end up cleaning heads and things like that, but regardless, you know, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so a lot of aviation news to navigate this week on the big show. So the big one is, of course, our president, who has created quite the havoc in the air, you know, in the airspace of West Palm Beach, and we've been talking about that quite a bit. Released his budget. And has indeed went after air traffic control and asked to make it, well, private, to create a separate entity to take over air traffic control. And, you know, the idea, I guess, is to make it more efficient because government is not. And I can buy into that basic argument. But as we've talked about in the past here on the show, you guys are definitely not a fan of this whatsoever. Am I right, Ed?
Absolutely not.
And that is because, let's beat this dead horse one more time and explain to everybody, including myself,
explain
why.
To Greg, because he can't remember.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Okay. Privatization of the air traffic control will result in user fees because they have no way to generate revenue.
Okay.
So they're going to try to generate revenue off of user fees, even though there is currently a fuel tax on every drop of avgas and jet fuel burned that is going into the Department of Transportation's budget that is supposed to fund the FAA and all of its services.
Got it. So is that
money is not being used as it was intended by the Department of Transportation. They're using it elsewhere.
Right.
And as a result, the FAA is underfunded.
Okay.
And in some cases, not funded.
Well, if they created this separate entity, is there the plan like this would be funded and there would not be user fees? Or are we
assuming?
You're
not going to pry the purse strings open with Congress and get them to dedicate that money. They're addicted to it. They won't let go.
Yes.
So the only thing you can do is generate new revenues.
Yeah. And it's not tax. It's a fee. But it's the same thing as a tax.
I see.
Okay. And so the other thing is, the people that are going to be in charge of this corporation are going to be CEOs of major airlines. The only major airline out there that is against privatization is Delta. The rest of them all want it because they know they will get control of it, and they will be able to basically move the fees from commercial aviation, which is the largest user of aviation, to general aviation, the smaller user, and will effectively put general aviation, just like in a lot of other countries, out to pasture.
Hmm.
Why do people come and learn to fly here? Because we don't have user fees. If we were learning to fly in Austria, and I used to work for a company that owned a flight school in Austria, they did the private pilot in Austria. They sent the customers over here to do the rest of the training because it was cheaper. Every landing was 25 euros, whether it be a touch and go or full stop.
Don't want it.
And now, how much is 25 euros in U.S. dollars?
Roughly $25.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
make
okay.
the math
yeah.
easy.
Well, at that time, it wasn't one-to-one.
It was two-to-one, probably, at that time.
It was two-to-one in favor of the euro. And so it was, you know, basically, if what I understood, it was like $50 a landing. And if you had to do roughly 100 landings to get through a private pilot course, you can see how that quickly adds up to the cost of training. That's why it was cheaper for them to come to the United States, pay the airline ticket, pay the hotel or in this case apartment fees and do the training over here, because it still was half as what it would cost over there. And that, so that's what would happen to general aviation here, is our cost would double, and it would take something that's already tough enough to do, as we all know, and put it out of the reach of most everyone that is interested in it, except for the elite few.
Okay, so taking toll roads to the skies is how they basically would have to fund this privatization of ATC.
And you know, the same old adage, well, the toll will go away once the road's paid for. Do they ever go away?
Let's ask the people in Chicago about that, because that was supposed to happen back in the 70s.
Yep. Did it?
Well,
nope.
I wonder, though, is this something that's being promoted as part of privatization, or is this what everybody assumes will happen if indeed they went down that road? You see what I'm saying? Like, the threat of user fees. Nobody wants user fees. Of course we don't want user fees. But they're not saying that up front, are they? They're saying, oh, we'll just allocate this budget for this new organization that's going to privatize or oversee ATC. And, of course, we're assuming they'll be underfunded like every other agency in the government.
Yeah.
And they'll
have to come up with some new way to get money. But they have also mentioned that, we will make sure we exclude general aviation from user fees. We'll only charge commercial aviation. So they're targeting anything that's not a jet or turboprop powered. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is twofold. One, what's to stop them from changing their mind once the system's in place? And two, how much is it going to cost to run an agency to collect those fees? Yeah. How are they going to keep track of that?
Exactly.
Apple Pay. No. They just interface.
Can you hit them?
Well, I'll throw something at them. Very heavy. And that was one of the things over in when I was talking to the people that ran the flight school in Europe. I'm like, how do they account for this? And it's by aircraft N number, or in their case, it was Oscar Echo was the beginning of there. So the airplane registration would get a bill monthly from whatever airport they went into, and so there was somebody that had to be at the airport collecting the number when that person made a landing, counting the number of landings they made, then submitting it to whoever has to then create the invoice and mail it to the flight school to get the invoice, and then turn around the accounting department's cutting check, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Somehow the fuel tax and the current FAA funding starts to seem really efficient, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a tax that's already in place, it's already being collected, it's already being remitted, and it just needs to be allocated to what it's being taxed on, aviation, and not Department of Transportation. In all essence, what they need to do is they need to make the FAA a separate entity and pull them out from under DOT and give them that line of funding, and they probably would do just fine.
Well, that's kind of what they'd be doing, isn't it? And then same kind of thing. What else? If you take away ATC, then FAA is going to do what?
The FAA is still their certification, their policing. Yeah. There's a lot to the FAA.
It's rules and enforcement.
Yeah, there's a lot to the FAA other than air traffic control. That's just one function.
Yeah,
okay. A big function, but still just one function.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not necessarily taking sides. You guys seem to have your minds made up.
Well, here's the thing. It has been proposed in every president's budget since George Bush.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether they're conservatives or they're liberals. Everybody's included it, but Congress has always stricken it from their budget. And we have a very strong general aviation caucus in Congress, and we had a discussion with Tom Haines probably last election when Obama was elected, and he basically told us, hey, the president really doesn't have that much power that as far as deciding privatization.
That's going to be
Congress, and so we need to pay attention to who's our legislator, writing our legislators, making sure they understand general aviation and be sign on as a member of the GA caucus.
Yeah, well, why does it keep getting promoted with all the presidents, though? I mean, somebody is putting this notion in their ears
who's supporting it? Who's the people that are really got their ear on this and really think it would benefit them?
Let's go back about a month
Bean
and
counters.
A half ago.
No,
a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
President Trump met with major airline CEOs, except Delta, because they didn't want to participate.
Really?
And what do you think the agenda was on that meeting? Why did they want to meet with the president?
To privatize.
To push privatization.
ATC. Yeah. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You are a conspiracy. A conspiracy.
Well, there's no conspiracy. It's wide open.
Press. It was part of the press from after that meeting.
My feeling is they wanted to get his ear and say, hey, what do you think? Should we upgrade from just peanuts? offer some more free stuff like we did back in the day? We'd like to bring it back. No?
No.
That wasn't discussed at all?
No.
They should. They need to bring, you know, better food back.
Well, just fly Delta then.
They get those little biscuit type.
Those things are
cookies.
They're addictive.
They are.
They are good. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta give Delta.
Biscoff.
Is that? Yeah, them. Okay. We'll go with that. They're tasty. That's all I know. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis helping us out. Or I should say, sitting in the jump seat. All right, so efficiency seems to be the buzzword of the week as President Trump put out his new budget suggestion for Congress and proposed to privatize ATC like several previous presidents have. They say it's dead on arrival as far as that portion of it. We'll see what happens over time. But maybe there's other ways. We got to figure out how to save money to get that deficit down. Or maybe like here's a suggestion to, instead of privatizing ATC, which a lot of pilots are not fans of, what if we did this and took our runways and made them circular?
I saw that.
You saw that story, too?
I want to try to land like that.
I do, too.
That would be cool.
I mean, they say it can be done.
I think we just go over to Daytona International Speedway and try it.
Well, I mean, I've never thought about that as a possible emergency landing location. Have you?
I say, I don't know.
Yeah, you could
land in turn four.
You could strategically plan on running out of fuel right over.
Well, there's an airport right there, so that would be hard to justify.
Oh, that's no. It looked like no. It was round. I don't know. Why don't you got to come up with a good story?
Yeah.
This is a unique idea, and evidently it's been around for years.
Yeah, the guy's been working on it for like 20 years.
And the idea is literally to make a giant circle runway where it's actually what it is. It's like a UK thing. It's like a roundabout, you know, and very popular, you know, driving when you get over, you know, across the pond. They have these roundabouts all over the place instead of stoplights. Mm-hmm. And you're just making a giant one for airplanes that is so big that an airplane could actually land on one of the curves. And it would curve, but not as much as you might think. And they still would have plenty room to land. And yeah, they would have to bank it a little bit so the planes don't, you know, go off in the wrong direction. But
well, and the concept is you're continuously landing into wind, so it takes away crosswind landings, or at least strong crosswind landings.
Yeah. Well, why is that? Because we're going in a circle and you're eventually going to go into the wind, or what?
You pick your point to land on the runway where you're directly into the wind.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So yeah. where the landing's made on the runway really has to do with where the wind is coming from.
I see. So you wouldn't pick a runway because everybody's on the same runway. They'd have to pick, mile marker? Or something? I don't know.
No, just an aim point.
Can I remember that? 735, please land at...
Think us flying into Sun and Fun. Land on the green dot. Land on the red dot.
No, it wouldn't be like that.
It would be like that.
Land in crowd bank number 3. what do they call them at Daytona? What do they call the turns? Dennis, are you a NASCAR guy?
Turn 1, turn 2.
Yeah. Land in turn 2.
Yeah, but there's no straightaway.
No rubbernecking.
There's no straightaway.
No
bumping.
It's all
a turn. There's no turn 1 or 2. It's a perfect circle.
Go fast, turn left. Isn't that the definition of NASCAR?
Yeah.
Well, they come into turn 2, come into turn 3. They could just put a giant number on them. Mm-hmm. I think that would work.
Well, they're trying to promote that constant turn to final instead of square patterns now, so this would just evolve that, right?
That's just a Navy thing.
That's a Navy thing? They
That's
do
a
that?
Navy thing.
Constant
the guy, the guy that came up with this, a Navy pilot.
Okay. Well, what is the idea there?
In carrier landing, no, you always have side of the runway.
I see. Well, that would make sense. Yeah. I mean, when you just say it out loud like that, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
That's why, you know, it actually started like in World War II when they had the Corsairs that had the big nose.
Yeah.
You couldn't see the runway, so you do turn to the runway until you're straight on it, and that's when you lose sight of it.
Well, why don't we do that then? I mean, I just got sold on that whole concept, but there has to be a downside, I'm guessing. What is it, Mr. Flight Instructor?
Wind compensation. I mean, I don't think there's anything totally wrong with it other than teaching old dogs new tricks.
Ah, we're all squares.
You know, that the whole idea of a crosswind or a base leg is so that we can put wind correction angle in so we're not blown away from the airport. Mm. And in the semicircle, it's like doing a turn about a point. So you're in a steeper turn when the wind's at your tail, and then you shallow out the turn as you come into the wind, which is actually theoretically if you're landing into the wind as you're rolling around to final. So you can compensate for the wind either way. So the argument of wind correction kind of gets negated. But, you know, it is one of those things that it will take a long time, to convince the FAA, and two, after the FAA is convinced to get everybody else doing it.
Yeah. All right. So the final thing, you don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But what about the circular runway?
One negative thing about the circular final, however, is if you're flying a high-wing airplane, you can see final. But if you're flying a low-wing airplane, the traffic out on final, which you're having to spot and make sure you're in before, you might not see as much.
I see.
And so I could see that causing problems at executive airport that we extend downwind all the time to spot traffic or return to final. And they said, okay, you're landing in front of traffic on 3 mile final, report them inside. Okay, we're got
them. Yeah, they're right there. Hey, he just turned. Yeah, having the extra turn, I guess, gives you a little bit more of a buffer zone, potentially, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I understand. But circular runways, I mean, when you read this press release or this story about this idea.
Did you watch the video?
Yeah, I did. Okay. And I mean, they were showing, like, being able to land 3 airplanes at once, big commercial liners. I mean, it'd be a massive size circle.
Yeah, and the volume at which you could land would be equal to a 4-runway airport.
Yeah. So you could do four planes on...
Well, just the number of takeoffs and landings. Because you could have people taking off and landing on the same, basically, same runway because they're far enough apart in the circle.
Yeah.
You know, and they're chasing each other around the circle. One gets up to takeoff speed, he takes off. The other one gets down to landing speed. They land and pull off.
Right.
It had all these high-speed taxiways on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So you just slow it down a little bit and then pull off to the side.
Yeah. It looks so cool. I mean,
like exiting off the racetrack at Daytona.
That's right. Taking the off-ramp.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole model thing that they showed, it kind of looked like Tomorrowland from Disney World or something. You know, mm-hmm. Walt's vision of the future. Oh, yeah, there's the circular airport. It just circles the city. And then everybody just, you know, lives in the inside the middle, I guess. And what do they call that in Daytona?
The infield.
The infield. Yeah, you live in the infield.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was like the infield in Daytona. I'd want to live there.
Well, you know, hey, yeah, neighbors
not,
are neighbors.
Not always a family-oriented area.
What are you talking about?
Their parts are
family-oriented. NASCAR folks are awesome.
Uh-huh.
Free beer. Every time I've went, that's the first thing they offer.
Oh, I know.
God bless them.
I took the Boy Scout troop to a NASCAR event, so yes, I understand. Yeah. We had to have our own separate area.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
For BSA policies.
Interesting. I'm not sure what to think of that, and I'm thinking I shouldn't. So I just won't. But yeah, I don't know if this will be the future, but it sure looks cool on online, so look it up. Circular runways. Is it the wave of the future? I'm in.
Or the circle of the future.
It could be the circle of life, circle of flying, I don't know. One of those. Take your pick. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Gregor, co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Dennis, navigating the latest aviation news and information. Circular runways, I'm in. But we've got to talk about more, you know, things other than me.
Wait a minute.
Since when?
When did that change?
Well, just for a short time, amount of time I have to fill, where I want to talk about. I want to talk about Dennis's son. See, I'm a giving person. Oh. You got 2 minutes. Go. Clock's ticking. What's going on with Austin there, Dennis?
Oh, we had a good opportunity this weekend. Cirrus actually had one of their factory demonstrator airplanes at our local airport and offered to take us up for a quick orientation flight. So
nice.
The only downside to having two pilots in the family, one of us had to go in the back seat.
Hmm.
So I drew the short straw because I wanted him to fly a Cirrus and try it out, especially since my father used to work for them. I thought it'd be really fun for him to get to, you know, try one out and actually fly it. So this was his first time ever flying a 300 horsepower airplane and a side stick and a glass cockpit. So
is he sold?
It was a treat. Oh yes, very much.
Yeah,
okay. You don't want to fly that old 172 anymore, I bet.
No, it was funny. We looked down at the true airspeed and we're seeing 165 at cruise. You know, at 2,500 feet, and that's, you know, practically VNE on a 172 in a dive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, did it feel like it, though? I'm guessing no.
No, it's so smooth and so comfortable, nice to fly, and quiet. I mean, we close the doors, start the engine, you could hardly hear it. I mean, compared to, you know, being inside of a spam can, you know, the composite construction and all of the soundproofing they have is just an amazing airplane to go fly.
All right.
So we got, you know, just under an hour of flight time for him to experience that.
How did this happen? How did you weasel into this deal?
Well, I used all my connections.
Uh-huh.
I told them I know you, and no.
And that didn't work, so then what
No,
you do?
That didn't work, so yeah. Then, no. I just happened to reach out to the local sales rep. We talk periodically via email. You know, sends out newsletters of, oh, come see us at this and this event, and says, hey, let me know the next time you're in Minneapolis. Actually, I'm at Flying Cloud on Friday and Saturday.
That is awesome. Well, call him up and tell him you know this guy in Orlando would like the same opportunity. Man, and he's a really nice guy. I'm talking about
me.
Just to clarify.
For fun.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Okay, so here is another way to, at least share the love when it comes to airports. You know, at least till we get our
circular runways
and things like that. Bloomington, Illinois has worked with the local community and youth soccer league in the past, evidently, to share the space with, the youth soccer league. And they've decided to put an end to it because they thought, maybe this isn't the safest thing that we could do. We'll let the kids play in the field when the planes might come in, when they didn't know the airport was being used for a soccer game.
I'm sure they had just
enough notice.
Well, they're not putting them on the runways or even near the runways.
Well, they're in near the fields. And they said... concerns about safety and federal guidelines are not going to renew the agreement because of that factor. Now the kids are out on the street playing around the cars. God help them.
Well, it's Illinois, which is a screwed up political mess anyhow.
But, okay, so we'll blame that.
But no, I'm from there, so I know. I grew up 50 miles
case
north
closed.
Of
that.
That explains it.
That was probably one of the first towered airports I ever went into.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a great airport. But yeah, that's weird because you go up to Sanford here in Orlando.
Are they playing soccer out there?
They have a huge sport complex built right next to the airport. And the reason they did that was as a noise buffer. It's better to have a sports field where people don't care if they hear an airplane occasionally than a bunch of homes.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
And I would have thought that would have been in fact, I actually vaguely remember seeing soccer fields near there when I went in there last fall.
Well, who knows?
Here in Minneapolis, they did a little bit different approach. My first home here in Minneapolis was actually right next to the Minneapolis airport.
Hmm.
And they acquired my house and three blocks of my neighbors as well and put up a Target and a Home Depot and a strip mall because they wanted a multi-story large brick building to act as a sound buffer because they were concerned with the new runway being put in at Minneapolis that the vibration of accelerating jets would have rumbled the conventional home structure so much it would have been like living inside of a guitar. And the vibration would have been so bad that there was no other way to solve it.
Yeah.
So now instead of putting up sound walls, they put up buildings and big box retail. Here you go.
Okay.
So now if you ever take off out of Minneapolis on 30 left, look down, you'll see a Target bullseye on the roof of a store. And right in front of that is where my house used to be.
Yeah, cool. You made out like a bandit, I assume?
Actually, that was one of the best investments I ever made.
I was going to say.
Two and a half years later.
Orlando Executive does that too, that on the north side of the airport, all those strip malls there, that's all airport property.
Really?
And they did it to keep people from complaining about the noise, and it does keep the noise. If you go by Colonial, you only barely know the airport's there. And then on the south side of the airport, they have all the land up to the interstate, and then you got the noise of the interstate, too.
Do you really believe, though, that the people stop complaining about noise when they do that?
No.
No,
they complain about the new Costco that's taking up all their space, and they're like, oh, you're bringing in the... Oh, no, well, it's not Costco. It's Sam's Club, right?
Yeah. Now, in Hartford, Connecticut, Old Weathersfield, right off the end of runway, I believe it was 2, the approach into runway 2, they had to put an LDA approach in, an offset approach, because the people in the city didn't want the airplanes going over the house. And here was an example of where the city was actually there before the airport. It was founded in like 1640. So they could have that argument that they were there first. But most of the time, you build the airport in the middle of nowhere, and what people do, they build houses all the way up to the runway.
Well, that's exactly what happened to my my airport where I fly out of. The airport was there prior to World War II. It was turned over to the city in 1947, and it was just grass runways and a few airplanes parked outside and a couple hangars. Now it's 5,000 foot long strip with business jets, and part of the agreement with the city is they have to do a every 6 month meeting with the pilot community to go over noise abatement procedures and things like that. And they shared with us this weekend the number of noise complaints in a year, and it's actually down, which is good. But they also shared that only that three properties were responsible for 75% of those over 2,000 noise complaints.
That's very typical. When I was on the noise abatement committee at Orlando Sanford, and it was one lady, house, and it usually started up when things cooled down, when the windows went open, because in the summer when the air conditioner was on, she didn't hear as much.
Of course.
And,
then every Christmas you would send her a little package of earplugs, Merry Christmas, from your friends at the airport.
Yeah, so and the same thing's true for what I've heard from a noise complaints of Orlando executive. It's, three or four houses are responsible for a majority of them.
Well, and I just thought it was hilarious that, there's a large cluster of noise complaints in the southwest corner of the airport, but those are homes that were built in the last 6 years. That airport had been there for over 80 years, and why would people complain about noise when you live there? I mean, the house was built, you knew the airport was there, you have to sign a document that says, I understand there's airport noise, I have no claim, yet they still call to complain.
Yep.
Doesn't keep them from, raising hell every now and then.
And we're the we're the bad guys. Where's our recourse? Don't we have any ability to complain about the complainers?
You
got a few people that are ruining it.
We need to file
a lawsuit against them for harassment, right?
Or no. You reach out to them, just like a
with a clue by four.
No, with a, well, you could try that, but I would attach earplugs to the note.
Yeah. Well, no, and there's another famous one down at Stewart Airport in Stewart, Florida. There's a guy off the end of one runway that hates the airport so much, he put up this humongous flagpole with this humongous flag that actually encroaches on the safe zone. And so there have been legal battles over that, and the FAA has gone to court to get him to remove it. And he has fought it every step away, and he finally did
just
remove
a U.S.
it.
Flag, or is it like
a
creative
flag? It was a U.S. flag.
Okay.
And but because he built the pole so tall, because every runway has a clear zone that has to have a certain gradient with there no obstacles, and so he made sure he put it up high enough that it got into it to keep people from using that runway. It took him a while, but the airport authority and the FAA eventually got it and got him through court order to have it.
Did they really have to go to that much work, or they could have just sent a student pilot like me in there? I could have taken care of that in a matter of moments.
Yeah.
Three fly arounds tops.
Turns about a point, and use that flag as your point.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah. They landed on the spot. It'd be better. It'd be easier. Just hit the pole.
Airplane display.
Mm-hmm.
We're exactly. Putting it on a stand.
Yeah.
There's your new weather vane.
That would be kind of a new,
new windsock. We'll put the airplane on that guy's flagpole.
Right.
No, it's just too bad that you can't go and file a suit against him for the cost, or fine him for creating a hazard like they did up in Canada with the guy that did the lawn chair balloon thing.
Mm-hmm.
They fined him $26,000 for just reckless disregard. The guy was actually flying above airliners landing at the airport in a balloon.
Yeah. Okay. Connected to a lawn chair.
Yeah.
So we got to take this a step further. President Trump, previously not just a private citizen owning Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
There was issue with Palm Beach International Airport and his flagpole being too tall for his flight path as well. And he refused to take it down. He eventually did, take it down, but that was a big argument when I lived down there 15 years ago.
Okay, so he's bragging about the size of his pole, and of course, it turned into a big media mess.
Yeah.
But he finally caved?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, it happens, and I guess that's why you live in Orlando now.
That's why he wants to privatize ATC.
What?
So but that ATC privatization will have nothing to do with that.
Payback.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been.
Those rules are from the legacy FAA would still be dictating rules. And
Well, that's true. They would still be overseeing.
Now, Keith's opinion, he thinks they need to privatize the FAA and leave the ATC under the government.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. Okay. Pay for whatever. Oh, wait a minute. That's no different than we're doing right now. Pay for whatever laws you want created. Just buy your local politician.
Yeah. Well, you could try that, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe they
buy your way to the presidency. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Welcome to Just Plain Politics.
Yeah. Hey, Keith's
I'm your moderator
here
today.
All right, so we do actually have to divert over to Sun and Fun, because that's like in a couple weeks. We got to come up with a plan of what we're going to do. Have you already been thinking about this?
What's this we?
Well, we are a team. We are a crew.
We don't have to do anything. You have to come up with the plan.
All right.
All right, so I am coming down Sunday before Sun and Fun.
Okay, that's
one. Let's figure out. We've got 4 days.
We got to work it around so we won't be there when Dennis is there, right? Is that what
Hey, that's just like last year.
Almost. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect and has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
So I get off the plane and I forgot to undo my seatbelt, and I'm pulling the plane through the terminal. And the wings are knocking people over. And then I almost broke both my arms trying to hold open a revolving door for a woman.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along, Captain Ed and Dennis, rounding out the crew today. All right, so Sun and Fun is literally just a couple weeks away. We got to come up with a plan here, guys. But I did want to throw out a suggestion, because you know, that place is huge. And I did get a story I wanted to throw out there.
Huge. Oshkosh is huge.
Sun and Fun is pretty big, too. Let's
it's
be
big,
real.
But
have you walked
a lot
end
of walking at Sun and Fun.
Yes,
absolutely. It's like you know, it's like walking all four Disney parks, you know?
Hey, how about we get the Just Plain Radio golf cart that we can run around the grounds with?
Well, why don't they take a...
we'll put that on Greg's card.
Well, yes.
And I can photo copy Keith, and he's not here, so that works. But they could take a hint from the folks in Finchburg. I don't know, where's Finchburg, by the way?
No clue.
Because that's the home of the Aviation Toy Museum. Maybe they ought to do like a miniaturized version of Sun and Fun to get more airplanes in there. And I didn't realize there's an entire museum of aviation, you know, toys. So like all the miniature planes and stuff. And just think of all the extra planes you could get on site. And it wouldn't hurt your feet.
But isn't that like any aviation museum?
With all the models and stuff?
With all the aviation toys.
Well, true, but I'm just saying smaller.
They're all toys.
You could cover a lot of different airplanes.
The only difference is the price.
The price.
And the size of the toy and the size of the
And I'm not talking about shrinking all of Sun and Fun. I'm just saying have a little, you know, small version of some. Or you could do like, you know, they got the Warbird section. They got the, you know, light sport aircraft. Here's the miniatures. And then do a whole little mini show inside the show. And then say, like, if you didn't have time.
Way too much.
Yep.
You did what?
You're sounding like Disney now.
No, I'm just...
Epcot, a trip around the world when you walk around the lake. Shrink the world down to a lake.
Okay, maybe it is starting to rub off. But I'm just thinking.
Miniature, you want animatronics, too?
Well, yeah, it's a small world. You know,
no, don't start.
Okay.
If you start hiring a team of Imagineers, we're going to have some words.
Well, I have been in discussions with them on some other projects right now, so that may be where my mindset is right now.
Okay.
I apologize in advance of these ideas, but I don't know. I mean, I'd actually go to that museum, would you?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of neat.
It'd be fun to see. But
yeah.
It's not going to be anywhere like Sun and Fun, where you can actually go fly in the planes and... Well, sit in them and actually, you know, see how this works and see if this fits you. And you want to get into Cirrus and see how much headroom you have, you can actually go sit in there and close the door.
Well, that's true. But you could sit on some of these planes they have in the museum. It'd just be, you would be sitting
them.
On the top of them, and riding them like a horse, which would be kind of cool too, actually. But anyway, I mean, Sun and Fun itself, though, is going to be great this year, I have a feeling. I mean, if it's like any of the other businesses, like in our boating show, we've been doing some of the boat shows. Attendance has been up. They're doing gangbuster business in the boating world right now. Mm-hmm. Dive industry seeing some activity pop up with the upturn on the economy and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I think this could be a big year for Sun and Fun. What do you think, Ed? Are you getting any vibe?
None whatsoever.
None? You're not feeling it?
I have no clue.
Oh, you just don't have any prediction one way or another.
No, I haven't heard from anybody in the industry that said that there are any indicators that it's going to be bigger.
Well, you guys have been doing good at the flight school.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't mean that the airlines are good.
Well, I agree. But, I mean, if people feel better about the economy a little bit from a business standpoint,
yeah, but
maybe.
It's not a business show.
Well, it's not a business show, but if people feel they got more
money. I mean, MBA makes sense. Because that's a business show. That's about business aviation. But Sun and Fun is about airplanes and going to have fun. It's never been about
selling
new
airplanes.
Products or selling airplanes. That kind of has grown and up and is dying off. That's not the purpose of Sun and Fun. That's not even the reason to go to Sun and Fun.
So the reason is to go see all the cool planes and the air shows.
See what somebody else has out on the flight line.
Yeah.
Maybe they built something. And in reality, the real action at Sun and Fun are in the seminars and in the workshops where they're showing you how to stitch fabric on a wing. That's what Sun and Fun originally started as.
That's what
Oshkosh originally started as.
You're saying that Sun and Fun is based on sewing classes?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It was for the amateur
home-built
aircraft.
Yeah.
It was an opportunity for people to get together and have classes to learn techniques on welding, stitching, woodwork,
and
whatever
it
would take to build
this
your home-built.
This was an offshoot of EA Air Venture.
Yeah.
And it started as a regional EAA event.
Okay.
And it's grown into a lot more. But in all essence, going there and camping and going in and finding that right part for your RV 7 project
Or right. for your RV.
Or for your RV.
Yeah.
Trust
me. I got that there.
Two birds.
And you know, hanging out with other pilots, watching the air show. You know, it was to come down to Florida when it's cold up north and enjoy winter flying in Florida, bring your airplane down, giving you an excuse to come south.
Okay.
Now, could they just move that up to February?
Well, February. You know, I mean, they had it in March. It's late this year. It's too warm for camping, in my opinion. But you know, they ran into weather problems where, you know, sometimes it got a little nasty here.
Yeah.
You know, and the tornado year, they were pretty early in March, so that's why they moved it back to where weather patterns were a little calmer.
Yeah, we're more in spring break season this year. And I like that.
No, that's spring break is now.
Well, it is, but it extends through April a little
bit. Not really. Well, that's Easter weekend.
Well, they're having spring break this week.
Yeah, this week, but we're 3 weeks out.
Well, it always feels like spring break with us, does it not?
That's right.
So put your shirts back on and let's wrap this puppy up. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.